Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Our text today is from John chapter 20. I'll read that in just a moment. I wanted to bring you greetings from my congregation. I'm Pastor Peter Gregory from Our Savior Lutheran Church in Westminster, Massachusetts. Today, they are going with a service of the word so that I can be present here and bring you the Holy Communion and preach for you as well. They will be praying for you and for Hope Lutheran during the prayer of the church. I also represent and bring greetings from our Northern Circuit of the New England District, your brothers and sisters in Christ throughout Northern New England, as well as from District President Robert Beinke. It's an honor to be serving with you today, especially in this Easter season. And we turn now to the text from John chapter 20. I'll reread a few verses. The other disciples told Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." This reading from John chapter 20 leads us to one conclusion. It's not a question of whether or not you will live by faith. You don't have a choice. Everyone lives by faith, not only Christians, but even non-Christians as well. Everyone lives by faith of one kind or another. Faith is simply a condition of life in this world. It's a learned response. We can't see, we cannot know everything, and yet we've learned to live with that. I imagine this is how it went for you this morning. You swung your legs over the edge of the bed, and you trusted that the ground would be there. You didn't peek over the side of the bed first to make sure the ground was still there. You simply had faith that it would be so. We've come to believe that certain things are true and real, even though we can't explain them thoroughly, or even though we can't explain them at all, even though we haven't seen them, even though we may not know exactly how they work. So the reality, not only for you, but for every human being, is that you do and you will live by faith. The only question is which faith you will live by. What do you put your faith in? Whom do you trust? And these aren't questions that you get asked only once. These are the questions we are faced with every single day. Every single day as we go about our lives, as we take in the news of the world, as we live day by day and week by week. Now, some might say that we don't live by faith. Doesn't that contradict popular belief? The world likes to say, we like to say, "I'll believe it when I see it." And that was also Thomas's response. Seeing is believing, we're told. And that makes sense. Of course, there are some things we trust and believe in without necessarily seeing them, like gravity or the laws of physics or the inner workings of photosynthesis. But there are many things we tend not to trust and believe in unless we see it first. And that's especially true when it comes to other human beings. Distrust is a learned response toward other people. We've learned to be skeptical of what people say. We've learned not to trust their words. We've even learned how to distrust their actions. We assume there's an ulterior motive. We accuse others of deception and manipulation. So, yes, we might say we live by faith, but no, we don't trust other people. And there are good reasons for that. There are liars. There are hucksters. There are some people who are really good at those sleight of hand tricks. Some are master manipulators. And all are sinners. As St. Paul says in Romans chapter 3, all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin, as it is written. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of poisonous snakes is under their lips. That's what Thomas was like. Not in being one who was lying, but rather in being one who did not trust others. He had difficulty trusting what the other 11 apostles said. I wonder if there were certain things that had gone on over the course of their 3 years following Jesus that maybe led him to distrust Matthew or Peter or James or John. He didn't trust the women who went to the tomb on Easter Sunday morning. He didn't trust the two men who saw Jesus on the road to Emmaus. And as I said, he didn't trust the other 10 apostles that Jesus had appeared to them on Easter Sunday evening. What did Thomas trust? These things did Thomas count as real: the warmth of blood, the chill of steel, the grain of wood, the heft of stone, the last frail twitch of flesh and bone. He counted death as real. Now that too is a matter of faith. You might say it's a well-founded matter of faith, but it's still a matter of faith. Thomas believed that dead bodies stayed dead. And for good reason. He'd never seen a dead body come alive again. He'd never even heard of such a thing, unless you think of Lazarus, or Jairus' daughter, or the widow of Nain's son, and a few miracles done by the prophets of the Old Testament. But other than that, dead bodies stay dead. But that's also a matter of faith. He believed something. He believed what his eyes told him. He believed what his reason told him. He believed what his senses perceived. But his eyes hadn't seen everything. His reason was limited. His senses were finite. Thomas hadn't investigated every death that had ever happened. He hadn't visited every tomb on earth to make sure that the bodies had stayed in the grave. And even if there'd never been a resurrection before, who's to say that there never could be one in the future? Even if he knew what had happened, did that mean he knew what could or what would happen? We say that we'll believe it when we see it, but Jesus in his earthly ministry makes the point that many who did see still didn't believe. People who saw his miracles and had solid proof of his divinity still refused to believe. There's that little parable in Luke chapter 16 of the rich man and Lazarus. Jesus points out that those who don't believe the scriptures, those who don't believe what Moses and the prophets say, we could add now the apostles, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. And we know that's true. Already on Easter Sunday, Jesus was proclaimed as risen from the dead, and yet what were the Jewish leaders doing? They were spreading lies about Jesus' body, saying that it had been stolen. It makes you wonder what Thomas did believe about the empty tomb and the missing body. If he didn't believe the women and he didn't believe the apostles, did he believe what the Jewish leaders were saying? But Jesus did give Thomas something to see and believe. And we have to take Thomas's word for it. Jesus showed Thomas not only that the tomb was empty, but that the body was alive. And he did that for the other apostles on Easter Sunday, and he did it for Thomas and all of the apostles on the Sunday after Easter as well, on the Sunday that we celebrate today. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. and put out your hand and place it into my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas was invited to live by faith, as we all do all the time, but to live by faith in Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead. And Thomas responds in the most beautiful way. He says, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." You are those who have this blessing of Jesus. You have not yet seen Jesus alive and risen in his body. You have heard his word and the announcement of it. You have received his body and blood under the forms of bread and wine, but you have not yet seen him with your eyes. And yet you are here believing what he said. "Blessed are you," Jesus says. And the things that are written are not only written to tell us about Thomas. The things that are written are so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name, that you may live by faith in his name. Thomas, John, Peter, James, all of the apostles are the eyewitnesses. They are the ones who testify to us of what they have seen and of what they have heard. And they have given us that testimony in the New Testament. John says in his first letter, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, that life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete." We have the testimony of the apostles to not only the death of Jesus Christ, but also to his resurrection and his appearances over 40 days. You might ask the question of why would we trust the apostles? We already talked about how we do not trust other people. Here are men who themselves doubted and had to be restored. Here are men who, like St. Peter, denied the Lord and were forgiven. Here are a group of men who left Jesus and fled when he was arrested, and yet within 50 days of his resurrection, they will be publicly proclaiming that this Jesus, whom they crucified, was the God's Messiah and Lord. And they were willing to stake their lives on it. They were willing to not only live by faith, but they were willing also to die by faith. Church history suggests that St. Thomas went on to proclaim Christ, his death and resurrection, throughout the various lands and countries, but all the way to the country of modern India. That he was known for building churches there where Christ could be proclaimed and confessed, and that he even was willing to suffer a martyr's death. He had seen and he believed, and he testified to it both with his words and with his life. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed are those who say, "I'll believe it, and then I'll see it." For that's how it will be for us. For Thomas, he saw and then he believed, but for us, we believe and then we will see. You can say that in a way we see already now by faith, but I'm not talking just about seeing by faith. I also mean that we will see it with our own eyes. We will see it in the flesh. We will see it as Job proclaimed, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last day I will stand upon the earth in my own flesh, and my eyes will see it for myself. After my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God. How my heart yearns within me." This is also what was proclaimed to the prophet Ezekiel in our Old Testament reading today. Taken out to that valley of dry bones, he was asked the question, can these bones live? If he were Thomas, I suppose he would have said, I'll believe it when I see it. Ezekiel just said, I don't know. You tell me. And then God told him to prophesy over those bones, told him to speak God's word and send God's spirit over those bones. And then the bone came to bone and sinews and joints and flesh, and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. The promise of the resurrection on the last day. A vision of what is to come because Jesus is alive and risen from the dead. And so it is that our God gives us hope as we walk by faith and not yet by that kind of sight. Daily we are invited by our God to walk in the hope that we have. You might say even we are invited to walk on water. The water of holy baptism, the water of God's precious word, the water that has been poured upon you and made you sons and daughters of the King, that buried you with Christ through baptism and have raised you with Christ to live and walk in newness of life. This is our life as Christians. We live like Thomas before he saw Jesus alive in the upper room. We live from the witness of those who testify to it by their death. We live in the hope that what they proclaim is true, that Jesus not only was crucified, but that he has been raised from the dead, that he lives and reigns. We believe it, and then we shall see it. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Please stand. The peace that passes all understanding now guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.